The Koi Gig Pod on Off the Ball with Cadbury, a proud sponsor of the Republic of Ireland football teams. Paint March Green with Cadbury.
Katie McCabe, a huge, huge goal.
Very proud of the team's performance.
We're going to go out there to beat them. We're going to try and beat them.
Hello and welcome to the Koi Gig Podcast. Kathleen McNamee here with you to look back on the weekend that was in the world of women's football. We had lots of excitement this week with the return of the league here, as well as the League Cup over in England and the usual WSL fixtures. So there are lots of things to get dug into. And to look at all of that, I am joined by Karen Duggan. Karen, how are things?
Things are good. I'm fresh after the first weekend of the league. No way. Wonderful feeling.
Yes, you still haven't lost then the kind of feeling of excitement of having a Monday where your body isn't feeling battered and bruised.
No, I was always very, very sure of my decision, and the weather in pre-season really hammered that home for me.
I can't imagine how anyone felt training in that rain all day, every day.
Oh. And P-Mount's always good 7-8 degrees colder than what seems to be the rest of the county for some reason. So yeah, no, I didn't miss it. But I did get out to see them at the weekend and kept an eye on the results. Obviously, I do feel quite distant from it, just because there's been so much change in the league and a lot of the girls I played with are now donning different colours and stuff. But it was great to get out to P-Mount and see how they're doing, because obviously there was a huge amount of turnover for them to have to contend with.
Yeah, and it was a thriller of a match as well to start off the season. Obviously now you would have liked a win rather than a draw, but in terms of enticing people into the league and showing them why it's worth watching, it definitely was a good match for that.
Well, what it got me excited about was the amount of young talent that is still there. Obviously, there's questions about why the 23 is there when you have some really, really top players playing in the women's section of it. I suppose it is to get more girls playing at a certain level and allow that additional years for development. But yeah, two really young teams, Bowes and P-Mount at the weekend. And like, In a way, the naivety of the youth is what gave away the goals, but you got a 2-2 game out of it as well. And I suppose first game of the season, making mistakes for goals, it gives you a lot of time to recover from it and learn from it. And it was really encouraging, I thought, for both sides, especially, I think, P-Mount, given, like I said, the amount of new people coming into the league. And Bowes had quite a settled team from last year. Still quite young, but quite a settled team. And a lot of the results kind of went as expected at the weekend. I suppose the big shock was Sligo getting a result, your own Sligo. So
I was so glad I didn't believe that.
The champions. I know, yeah. That's huge. That, like, because there's so few games that Athlone have dropped points in recent memory for it to happen straight away. I'd imagine the likes of Rovers and Charles were looking at that and saying, okay, let's go. There's a game on this year. I'm sure Athlone won't be too worried. Again, first game of the season, plenty of time to recover from it. But yes, it was an interesting first round for everyone to talk about and get into and get excited about for the year ahead.
Yeah, I hope from a Sligo perspective, it does give them a bit of a boost going into the league, because, you know, we've had that case a couple of years now where they've had some really, really tight results that just haven't gone exactly their way and they haven't got the points on the board that they potentially deserve. So to be able to do that...
They always seem to pick up their points against us, actually. we found it quite a difficult place to go.
It's because I go down and I give them a very specific team talk ahead of time. And I'm like, if you guys don't do this, I'm going to have a terrible Monday evening.
Pretty much, yeah. But... No, they seem to have good manager and they've brought in some players. That's the thing, like there's players coming in from America now. So these are unknown quantities to all of us. So especially early in the league when you don't have the benefit of analysis, you can be taken on the hop. And I'm sure Athlone were a little bit. I'm sure Athlone, given their goal scoring and threat, expected to score more than one goal. Whatever about conceding one goal, that can happen. We saw the circumstances happen. It was a free kick that everyone thought someone else was going to clear, and then the keeper is blindsided and can't react in time. It was actually a similar save that happened in the WSL that we'll get into later during the programme. But yeah, that's a big one. Blows it open. Then, of course, you had Shells and Rovers recording wins as we expected them to.
Yeah, and Galway as well, which leads them to the top of the table at the moment.
Galway, we keep saying, are going to be contenders, but they really have to be this year. It has to go a little bit farther this year. Hopefully, they again have quite a settled team, seem to get on really well, still have quite a lot of leadership in that team, so that could work in their benefit. Again, it's too early to say, but I would be hoping that Galway will find themselves in the mix this year.
Well, you know the way I love a good "it's too early to say" a prediction, Karen. If you were,
if you were the relegation battle,
yeah. You were to kind of look at the teams as they are at the moment, and I suppose you have to take the context of history of previous leagues into it and everything, but do you think there's going to be any surprises this season, or maybe a breakthrough, whether that's a player or a team that we're potentially not expecting, or do you expect it to kind of be the usual crew up there?
By usual crew, Athlone, Shells, yes, they will still be up there 100%. I wouldn't exactly call Rovers a breakthrough team, but they have signed big. So they haven't gotten their hands on silver yet, but they have Ella Molloy, Amanda Budden, Lauren O'Callaghan, Therese Knievy. That's a lot of experience, and a lot of those girls have won silverware. So you're bringing a lot into that dressing room. And I think we spoke probably in previous years about Rovers having the young talent coming through and maybe just lacking that little bit of maturity in the crunch games that the likes of Shells had in abundance. So they will certainly be there, thereabouts, you would imagine. But I can't see Athlone dropping off just because they've drawn one game. They're too good, and they lost Kelly Brady, but they were able to replace her with Dana Sheriff. You've got Chloe Singleton coming back from injury. They in terms of squad depth look very well able to keep themselves in the mix.
It's also not unusual after the size of the year that they had to come back at the start of the league and potentially take a little bit of time to get going. Because, I mean, when you look at their last final few weeks between manager switches up, Champions League, everything that they won as well, there was a lot of high emotions. So I imagine coming back.
Yeah, potentially a little bit of a hangover there from that they'll find their feet in eventually. I've no doubt about that.
Yeah, well, we will be keeping an eye on things for the rest of the season, particularly, as always, from the P-Mounts and Sligo side of things, since that is where our loyalties on this point. Well, actually, when Scarlett is back as well, I'm sure we will have a bit more Rovers chat as well, since that's
next week. Rovers P-Mount next week, so
okay, well, we'll definitely have to make sure that she's on the pod next week. Before we turn to the league in England, I think let's go to the cup final first, since this was an interesting one. Manchester United versus Chelsea. We've seen Chelsea this season not be at their best, to say the very least. Erin Cuthbert was talking about it, saying that this season will keep her up at night for a long time. And I was like, I'm sure there's a lot of winners' medals there that will keep you nice and warm.
She can dry her tears with literal gold medals, so she's okay.
And also Chelsea obviously having the big news this week that Guro Raishan is leaving the club. After winning many titles with them and being pretty much the face of the team one of the big faces, I suppose, of the team for a long time. It wasn't to be on the day for Manchester United. Chelsea managed to find the form that they've been missing a little bit this season, Karen.
Yeah, I mean, Lauren James was in the mood. So sometimes when that happens, you end up losing, I think. It's a tough one for United to take, because it just kind of reinforces the "you're still in the chasing pack" kind of thing that we've had around them. Obviously, their league position is really good, and they've definitely stepped it up a level this year. But in terms of when it matters, when there's a trophy on the line, I thought the most interesting thing about this match was actually probably Skinner's interview after. I don't think the match was a classic by any means. The like there was a couple of mistakes. Obviously, we can get into the goals and stuff like that. But I think, like I said, Skinner was saying that the goals are rubbish, and those key moments in both boxes, he wants them to be better and more aggressive. And it's just in those moments in a big game, Chelsea have the experience to duke it out and to get over the line. And you can't keep saying that forever, that it's experience, but United just that little bit off. And they didn't threaten the keeper enough. Like, you can't think of any like gilt edge chances. Turland had a few long range efforts that forced Hampton to scramble a little bit, and obviously conditions were tricky at times during the game. But Chelsea punish small mistakes and tale as old as time, basically.
Yeah. Would you, if, say, I guess, to a situation this season, which is very possible, where like Chelsea are outside of the Champions League spots and United manage to stay up there, do you think they're still part of the chasing pack despite like results like these?
I think the gap is closing because I think they've made better signings. And obviously, if in Europe they're then seen, oh, they finished ahead of Chelsea, they've a young, eager team, they seem to be improving year on year, they become, you know, they become an attractive outfit. I think the WSL is just attracting and attracting and attracting. And United, if they're ahead of Chelsea and Arsenal, like, that's huge in terms of profile. They've definitely improved, but they haven't, like, they just can't be Chelsea. Do you know what I mean? In big moments, in big games. And that'll stick. That kind of sticks with you. I think this would have been great for them. I think finishing ahead of Chelsea in the league would be huge mentally. I think this knocks them a little bit. If they could have won this and finished above Chelsea, then we could have that conversation. I think Chelsea are on a dip that they will recover from.
Yeah.
But if they finish ahead of them, there's a chance next season that we talk about them as actual contenders.
Yeah.
But at the moment, they still feel off in those big games.
Yeah, well, I do think Chelsea have been, a downturn has been coming for them for a while, and they've managed, I mean, a downturn is a funny way of calling it when they're still quite successful.
They haven't been playing, they've been successful, but their football hasn't been as convincing as their dominance in other years. Yeah. But again, they knew how to win games, and they knew how to win yesterday. And the signings, the likes of Thompson, and you know, they're there and they're about to make an impact, I feel.
Yeah. If anything, I think Chelsea have almost suffered a little bit from maybe hanging, and they are definitely changing that at the moment, but maybe hanging on too much to some players from the Emma Hayes era and not letting the new players come in, develop as much now. I think we are seeing that change quite a lot, obviously, with the likes of Gorration going. Some talk that Millie Bright won't be around all that much longer. Other, even players like Kat Macario, who was signed during the Emma Hayes tenure, who hasn't had a whole lot of playing time through injury, doesn't really seem to want to be in the WSL, which is understandable. It hasn't been the most successful, but personally, it hasn't been the most successful time for her. Obviously, she's been there while Chelsea won a lot of trophies. So it'll be interesting to see next season if we get a bit of a refreshed version of them. But yeah, in terms of this game, it did feel like going back to the Chelsea of old, who knew what they were doing.
I think on commentary, obviously, for United, the goal that United conceded first, Janssen obviously will get a lot of stick for it because she tried to take a touch and play it to Tullis Joyce.
Well, I wasn't too bad about seeing that after the international break.
No, the throw to her, I would say, was a little unfair.
Yeah.
It bounced up. It was an awkward one. It was like she nearly needed to clear it first time, whereas you always, in your mindset, when you're getting a quick throw back, you're like, oh, I'll open out and play it. But then the pressure came from James, and she made no mistake. And on commentary, they just said, Chelsea are good enough without any help. And I think that is exactly what United did. They helped. And I think that's what Skinner was talking about in his interview. It was like, you know, we are the ones that are stopping us from reaching that level and being clinical in the box and wanting to get to kind of like to use a GA phrase, the dirty ball. Chelsea just seemed to be able to pick that up better. And he said he will get that into his players. We've seen more of it this season than we ever have before. So we'll see if that's to come. But Chelsea, again, win a trophy this season, despite us looking for reasons to say that they're not good.
Yeah. Quick turnaround as well for both teams as they're playing midweek. Chelsea have Brighton and United have West Ham. Those are kind of like rearranged fixtures after obviously they didn't play in the league at the weekend. Okay, so then to look at the league, we'll start with the City game just because it's interesting in the context of their run to the top of the table and that WSL title. We did say that, you know, it's unlikely at this stage that they are going to lose the league, but you've definitely seen them falter a little bit over recent weeks. Now, again, this was like when we were trying to pick holes in Chelsea when they were winning left, right and centre.
By falter, we mean that Arsenal got a result against them.
Yeah, exactly. And that still doesn't even mean that.
Arsenal, who are capable of winning a Champions League.
Yeah.
But I know what you mean. We were kind of saying that's the only chink we've seen in the kind of like unstoppable City train.
I think part of it was just the way that they played that surprised me more so than the results. Like, it's probably some of the sloppiest play I've seen from them this season. You know, we've seen Aston Villa not have the greatest season in the world either.
This is not a result I would have come anywhere near predicting based on what we've seen over the course of the season this year. I was particularly scathing of Villa the last time we recorded a podcast, and I think that was fairly justified. But they looked like a different team. Maybe it was because they didn't expect to get anything off City. But the first, like, 15, 20 minutes, all Villa. And like you say, sloppy from City. And we were like, when is this going to change? And it didn't really change until the second half. They got to grips with it a little bit, City, but I wouldn't say a draw was an unfair result.
No, I don't think so either. Like, I think Villa deserved to get something out of the game. It didn't really look like, I don't know, City just looked a bit disjointed in a way that we haven't seen them before. And one of the things they've been really good at has been, you know, rotating their team, using their bench, players coming in where it doesn't look like they haven't played together or whatever it might be. And it just didn't feel like that. And I know, like, some people were kind of saying afterwards, oh, well, it's been 3 weeks since their last game, 4 weeks since the last game in the league. But at the same time, like, the international break happened for everyone. And if you're going to be, you know, a team that goes on to win multiple leagues or multiple trophies, I don't know if this is what we would have expected for them. Now, I do remember before, like, Hasegawa and stuff went off for the Asian Cup, asking you guys, did you think it would make much of an impact? And I think at the time, the consensus was like,
I said no. I said, absolutely not. They'll be grand.
But that was probably a fair thing at the time with how they were playing. But I have to say, it did kind of look like they were looking around for her a bit.
It did, because it was like that when the back line looked up. They struggled to kind of find that link. And then it was almost like, we'll go long, which is not their game. And I think they were kind of working off set pieces and crosses a lot more than what we've seen. They definitely didn't have as much kind of guile through the middle as what we'd expect. Usually they like pummel you through the middle, then get it wide to Hemp and allow them to just hurt Carolyn and Hemp to just go at you. And they even cut through lines and stuff and get on the end of balls. But it was a little bit one-dimensional from them. I think they just got rocked by the really weak start and struggled to recover from it, because it's the first kind of like really shaky performance they've had. The only thing is, we kind of did say that their run of games now still gives them a chance to recover. We said that after Arsenal, they've gone on to win a couple of games after and win convincingly. They can go and play Spurs now next.
And
again, so you'd be
nine
thinking
points at the top of the table.
Yeah, do you know, this is still a bit of a comfort to them there. But look, if they lose another game, we can start having a chat again, maybe. But
No one's hitting
they
the panic
just were
button just
they're
yet.
just too far ahead, I think. Like when we saw them falter in previous years, it used to happen around Christmas, do you know? Like, and then they didn't have the squad depth. Whereas now, actually, when the Hasegawa comes back and the Asian Cup is over, they're still in very good stead.
I don't think it's gonna, at the end of the day, I'd be very surprised if it made any sort of impact on their title aspirations. One result that was very good for those who are hoping that Arsenal stay in the Champions League, was their win against London City Lionesses, a 2-0 win for them against a team that we have seen being a bit sticky in the past, for various different squads across the league. And this was kind of a, for me, it was a no frills kind
Kind
of
of skin.
win.
I think the early goals really told over the weekend, you know, getting Smith's one after 15 minutes, and similarly with Liverpool got an early goal, Everton got an early goal, and it just kind of it dictated the way the rest of the match went. Godfrey had a huge chance to put London City Lionesses one up. Pattinson and Francie linked up really, really well and forced a really good save. Or no, sorry, she skied it over the bar. And like, if London City were to put it up against Arsenal, that needed to go in, and then they could maybe use the conditions. You know, it was a hard game to play. Like I said, the pitch was bobbly. It was really, really windy. So it's a good away win for Arsenal. Again, they were the better team. She's so relentless, isn't she? She's just one of
I'm
those players who
excited
she
to see
hate
how
to
she
play against.
develops more
Yeah.
as the league goes on, because it's just, she doesn't stop, as you say. She's
She's
absolutely
powerful as
relentless.
well. Do you know, she's a powerful build, she's a powerful runner. When she does go on players, it's pretty direct, like it's hard to defend.
And I think because she's small as well, like people almost underestimate that part of her game a little bit, that she does, as well as being fast, she is actually really strong. She is able to muscle her way through situations. I'm really excited to see how she develops within the squad over the coming seasons, because I think she could be, I mean,
She's the
obviously,
next generation, I
we
would
obviously paid a lot of
say.
money for her, so we kind of would have hoped that she would be the next generation, but that
I think
doesn't.
she's showing it though. I think she's showing why she cost what she cost. And it will come good. Again, Arsenal were misfiring a little bit all round at the start of the season, and as it's gone on, you can see what she has to bring, for sure. I do think there was a foul in the lead up to the goal as well. I think Russo maybe got away with one there.
I would agree. I would have been annoyed if it was the other way around, so I can't say that
It
it
is.
was.
Look, it was good play by Kelly cutting through, and Russo made a good run, but she does clip Goldie, and it allows the ball to fall to Smith, who, I don't know, I don't know how it went in, but it went in, and that's all she cares about. And yet, London City were kind of like the same, made a couple of chances, but you always felt like Arsenal had more. And then the second goal goes in late. Again, Blackstenius did really, really well, really good hold up play. Russo's first touch was brilliant. And then again, Blackstenius was there to get the finish in the end, and their partnership is becoming quite a fruitful one, I would say. There was a lot of frustration, I know, of some of Blackstenius's finishing, but their link-up play has been really, really effective at times when Arsenal have needed it.
I think the thing with Blackstenius is that a lot of the stuff that she does really well is probably the stuff that people don't notice as much. And then,
Stretches the play really well.
when there's things like if she takes a bad shot, because I think the way she was sold to Arsenal fans when she first came in was to be the sort of player who at the time was going to link up with Miedema. The two of them were going to be smashing goals home. It was going to be like, Miedema scores one, Blackstenius scores one, da 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 da. And like, that obviously didn't work out at the time, hasn't really worked out since. But there's a lot of other stuff that she has brought to the squad, which is why she's still in there. We've seen her have a massive impact as well off the bench in really, really big games. I think there's almost like a narrative play that a lot of fans need to do in their heads to actually understand.
They're expecting another Miedema.
Yeah, and that, like that. She just never was going to be that player. Like, you know,
there's not too many who could live up to that.
No, and both of them with Buddy Shaw and herself seem to be playing with City at the moment. So.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah, they had a couple of chances at the weekend again, and you always can see that they expect themselves to score. They were tough headers that Shaw and Miedema had, but like they've set such high standards for themselves.
Yeah.
You kind of did expect them to score. But I'm sure they'll come good again. Look, there's not too many games left. They'll see it out.
No, they'll be.
But I think Arsenal they're on a steady run now again.
They also have two games in hand on City. Like, obviously not that they're going to reach City, but, you know, when you look at the table and they're in fourth, point behind Chelsea, two behind United, it's all still to play for.
No, I think Arsenal are still kind of favourites for me to come second, I think.
So then who would you put between United and Chelsea?
I think Chelsea are better, but...
Yeah.
But I'm hopeful that United have matured enough again to hang on this season. That's like pure hope more than anything.
Hey, look.
But yeah, for me, Arsenal.
Have hope as a football fan.
Yeah, you have to. Loads of things to be hopeful for at the moment.
Right? We wouldn't have got this far, Karen, if we didn't have the occasional bit of hope.
Yeah, we need a lot of hope now. We're only what? How many days away from the men's qualifier? 10.
I think it's even less than 10 now, isn't
9.
It?
Yeah, 9. I think. I'm going to be very hopeful for the next 9 days.
Yeah. I don't know if I can actually stand to listen to everyone talk about it for the next couple of days. I'm going to have to like block off the ball football or something.
I'm enjoying it. It's
two or
it's
three
the night
days
before my wedding, so I'm kind of like, that's a good distraction.
That's a very good distraction.
Yeah. That's more important. Let's all focus on that.
Yeah. That would actually be the most Karen Duggan thing in the world as well, to be more stressed.
I actually don't know if I want them to win, because obviously we'd be watching in the pub the night before. And
yeah.
Like,
and it could, people
like,
get overexcited.
I would have to behave.
Definitely no extra time.
No. No. Yeah.
Okay. We'll, everyone
won't think about that.
Listening to the podcast, will Ireland to win, obviously, but also will Karen to go to bed early for her wedding?
Just have it wrapped up at halftime if we can.
Yeah, exactly. We're already winning 5-0.
Right, Karen, first half.
Okay, just quickly for the bottom of the table then. Well, I say the bottom of the table because we've been talking about them
as
bottom of the table teams, but Everton are now up, doing very well for themselves. The team a little while ago we thought were going to be relegated. They're now in sixth.
They were like, why are they changing their manager? Why are they doing this? 4 wins in a row in the WSL and playing really good football.
Yeah.
Like, I thought that they were excellent, like, from the start of this game. Tony Payne down the right, she really was going at Spurs, and they really struggled to handle her directness. I think Blackstad was run in and out. And Momiki, there was a little bit of luck with her goal, but the play to get to that point, again, Kramshaw really direct through down the wing, and there was a lot to be really, really positive about from an Everton point of view. Obviously, Spurs came into it a little bit, and they got their goal to make it a bit, you know, hairy towards the end. But even that last play of the game, it was a cross that Courtney could easily have stayed in her line for, but she was brave enough and confident enough to come and collect it, and then they blew the whistle. And you can tell there's that togetherness with this Everton team. They made really good signings as well, I have to say.
They have done particularly well over recent times, as have their other Merseyside counterparts, Liverpool. Big 2-0 win for them against Leicester,
huge.
Which is arguably the more important result, mm-hmm. purely because of the fact that Liverpool are a little bit closer to that bottom of the table, and the fact that Leicester are rooted to the bottom at the moment. I mean, obviously they got the very early goal, which was great, but it did take them until practically the end of the match to actually sew it all up. But I think, again, it just shows how far this Liverpool team have come in the last couple of months. I know the results are still a little bit up and down, but this was really, I think this was one of the games that we picked out a couple of weeks ago, me, you and Scarlett, as being an absolutely crucial win for either side, really, to maintain, hopefully, WSL football.
If Leicester don't win their game in hand, it's looking really, really tough for them. They just don't seem to be able to get goals. And Liverpool have started picking them up. A lot of that is down to, I think we can call off the bets on their player of the season for Kerry Holland this year. She's just been outstanding for them. She set the tone. She won a ball in midfield, drove through the middle, and nearly scored a great individual goal. What I liked about the Liverpool goal was the first goal. It was really kind of brave. We saw kind of Clark playing a ball through the middle, first time out to the wing, a really swift move. And when they were doing that earlier in the season, the passes were, they were unsure of the passes, they were getting intercepted and they were conceding silly goals. And we're like, why are you playing out from the back? But to be fair to Taylor, he has stuck with it. He wanted to play a certain way. He's stuck with it. He has the players now with some of the signings he's made, and the confidence, I guess, is in the group a little bit. I think they've obviously had to grow together out of a lot of adversity. And that's a huge result, really, really huge result for them. I don't know why I feel like I'm rooting for Liverpool to stay up. I think it is kind of everything that's happened. And obviously we've got the Denise O'Sullivan factor, and Niamh Fahey obviously is still a very prominent figure there. So I think that's, it's the Irish goodwill is certainly at play there.
I think we did say previously that we wanted Everton and Liverpool to stay up because of the Irish connection.
Weird. Feels wrong.
Well, I think as well, as you say, it's quite obvious that the team has been through a really difficult time this year, and it at times has felt almost a little bit cruel that they haven't been able to get some of the results that they needed to have a bit of a more comfortable run into the end of the season. And in saying that, you know, never been particularly a fan of Gareth Taylor, so the fact that I also want him to stay up kind of says a lot about this club. I think everyone understands that the club has been through a lot, and that has given them a lot of extra love, and I think most people that I've talked to have kind of wanted to see them stay up. And also, they have quite a likable squad, I would say. Yeah. You know, it's so small that you kind of feel like you know all the players quite well, and because you're just seeing basically the same combos most weekends, and there's a lot of, you know, people throwing their bodies on the line and, you know, last ditch attempts to try and make sure that they can get a result or get close to a result.
So saying that a shout out to Grace Fisk, who had a huge challenge on Goodwin. Like, she doesn't make that challenge, maybe they don't go down the other end and get the penalty to shore things up. They're potentially staying up, winning tackles, and we talk about goals and stuff like that, but equally they have kind of stopped the rot in terms of silly goals that they're giving away, so that's huge.
Yeah, well, not that much longer left to see who will be making it up in the WSL next season, although it also will be interesting with having the playoffs this season too. Mm-hmm. Will give us a little bit of extra bite to everything, which I am looking forward to. Karen, thank you very much. As always, pleasure. Mm-hmm. And hope you enjoy the rest of your week with your body feeling good, your mind feeling good.
Rested.
All in preparation for the big things.
Rested and indoors and warm.
Yeah, I know. I could hear the rain start again there as we were recording. And I was like, please no. I was watching the rugby on Saturday in my local with a couple of friends, and it was really nice when I was walking down, you know, start of the day, blue skies, sat there about 5 minutes and started lashing, and I was like, come on. Can't have any peace.
We're lucky to get 5 minutes.
We are lucky to get 5 minutes at this point. And the Koi Gig Pod on Off the Ball is brought to you by Cadbury, official snack partner to the Republic of Ireland women's national team. We will be back very soon With lots more chat about all the football and all the biggest stories happening here and across the world in football. But for now, thank you very much for listening, and we will see you soon.
The Koi Gig Pod on Off the Ball with Cadbury, a proud sponsor of the Republic of Ireland football teams. Paint March Green with Cadbury.